Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracle Tapping, Dreams Do Come True. And I have a wonderful, interesting, amazing, delightful miracle for you. Her name is Marlise Jermutis. Am I saying it right, my darling?
Jermutis.
I can't say that. I can't wrap my
Very difficult to pronounce that name.
Well, anyway, welcome, Marlise.
Thank you, Iris.
Thank you for being with us. Marlise is an internationally acclaimed artist. She is a visionary, a recording artist, quite a musician, a new age musician. And I wanted to say your music just lifts my heart and my soul, and I feel the hair stand up on the back of my neck sometimes.
Wow.
It's just wonderful.
This is wonderful. Thank you, Iris. Wow.
It's just wonderful. And I got an email from someone the other day that said, you know, Marlise is very interesting, and I am not much on, she said, impressionistic art, but... And I don't know if that's what you call what you do, but she said, I would really like to have some of her pieces. She looked at your website. And I was looking at your website. How many websites do you have?
I think I have two websites, you know, my Starseed Gallery and then the Starseed Music. So the website for my Starseed Gallery is www.starseedgallery.net.
And, well, you know, when I looked, I just put your name in, Marlise Jermutis.
Yeah.
And I got the Deer in the Yard, the YouTube videos that you're on. I got all kinds of things. There were at least seven things.
Yeah. So when people go to my website, they get all that links. You know, I have, I think, three videos on YouTube that is about my art, you know, nourishment for the soul, and then the deer in the yard.
Well, you are nourishment for the soul, and you, I'm so looking forward to your autobiography that's coming out. When do you suppose we'll be able to expect?
I think at the moment it is in the editing stage, so I think in two, three months. I'm looking, of course, for an agent at first, you know, and the book is, I think, a wonderful, wonderful book because I was born in 1942, so meaning in Germany was World War going on, and I talk about that. It's a lot of history in, and then my spiritual way from going, coming up in myself, you know, having all that experience, bad, of course, life is negative and positive. So I think I came pretty much out of the whole negative stuff and went on with my life and became more and more connected to my heart, to God within. And with my heart, I think I look through the whole world. And, of course, my guru helped me a lot. Her Holiness Sai Ma Lakshmi Devi. Let me give her website at first.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
It's a wonderful website. She's an unbelievable, wonderful, divine being.
And
the website is www.humanityinunity.org.
Oh, yes. And aren't there some of her videos on YouTube also?
I don't think so. Not at the moment.
Oh, well, I have seen a couple of her videos, and...
You mean the DVDs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
DVDs are wonderful.
Yes.
Especially the brain illumination. You know what we talked last time on the radio? This is a wonderful, wonderful DVD to bring light in one's whole being, you know?
Yes, and there isn't anything more important. There isn't anything more important, and there isn't anything that anyone craves more than that.
Right.
Is the light in their own being.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say, Her Holiness, say her name again.
Sai Ma Lakshmi Devi.
she is going to be on either April 7th or 21st.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
You got it together, Iris, right?
Well, you helped. I wanted to say thank you.
Wonderful.
I tried for a while, and I couldn't get past all the, you know, processes, and then I think you put in a good word for me.
Yes, I did.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I think it is wonderful for a lot of people to hear that, but her messages, you know, they are universal.
Yes.
That is nice that she comes on your show. Oh.
Yes, and well, not only that, she's very much into the violet transmuting flame.
Yes, I'm working with that as well, and I know you do too since years, right?
Yes. Since 1977, and it is so important, and she presents it as one of the most important tools for transmuting into the divine. Everything that we've created that, you know, frankly isn't fun.
No.
Into something that is.
And, right.
And you, I am just thoroughly amazed. I have to say the way I met you, Marlise, is at a party at Joanna Cherry's in Mount Shasta.
Ah, yeah.
And you were famous for coming up to people and proudly announcing that here is my husband and here is my lover, and all
yes.
of you just beaming and being happy together. And, I mean, you are legend for that, you know.
Oh, my God, really?
Oh, you didn't know?
It is, you know, it works so well together, you know. That is amazing for even for all three of us. I'm married with my husband Bastian since 23 years now in June, and I know my lover Raza since 1971.
So you knew him before you married?
Yes, I know him before we got married, yeah. And but we became lover, actually, 20 years later.
After you had been married.
Yes, yes.
And tell me, talk about how this evolved.
Oh, okay. I came with my husband, Bastian, over to America, and we stayed, of course, in Raza's house on the East Coast in Massachusetts, and we lived together for 3 months until we moved from Massachusetts, Bastian and I, to California. That was our goal. And we moved to California, but before we did that, we were on a holiday in near Washington, D.C., in Maryland. And suddenly, you know, this kind of old feeling with Raza came up. We always were in love. But we never had sex, we never talked about it, you know. And so in this time I thought, okay, I will see what comes up, you know. I feel I'm in love with Raza and I'm in love with Bastian. So it is unusual, and for me, believe me, it was not so easy at first to accept that. So I talked with both.
That's not what we were brought up to, is it?
So I talked with both men about the situation. I told them both that I love them both and I want to be with them both together. And then we talked about it and thought, okay, it is really about honesty, you know, that we can be free, freedom, that we can do what we want. With, of course, a lot of respect for the lover or the husband, the partner.
Yes.
So we did this, and we thought, okay, let's see what comes out of that. And Bastian and Raza, they didn't know each other. And Bastian, I know, Bastian, he knows Raza from Germany only as a musician, because Raza was a very famous rock and roller in Germany and in Europe. And so Bastian, he knows all his records, but not in person. So they became really wonderful, wonderful friends and never, ever had an argument. Never were jealous. Never. I mean, for me, it was a miracle, too. because for me it was a little bit more difficult, you know, having two men, and we had our, Raza lived on the East Coast, he had his house there, Bastian and myself in California, we had our station here, and so I traveled forward and back, being with both men, you know, the lover, the housewife, the spiritual companion, whatever you call it, and then I thought, okay, I need my own place. You know, it's much easier for me. And then before I did that and moved here to Mount Shasta and we bought here the house, I came in my menopause. And so this was, of course, a big thing because suddenly I had two men with both men sex and now I came in my menopause with 50 or 55 nearly. And I thought, oh, my God. But suddenly my body didn't want to have sex anymore. It was not anymore a sexual arousal, nothing. It was just gone. And I talked to my chiropractor. She said, listen, Marlies, you had maybe enough sex, you know. Let it go.
I laughed you for disappointment.
Let it just go. And I did. So I talked with both men, and they were both loving and compassionate. They had, you know, they understood my situation. And we said, okay, you have still, I mean, Bastian is 16 years younger than myself. Raza is 10 years younger. Of course they want to have sex and pleasure. And I said, okay, do whatever you like to do. Play with women, take a nice girl, take an older woman, I don't care, but she has to fit in our whole situation here, you know. She has to accept at least that I'm here, but not having sex anymore, you know,
well,
and so that never came up. Raza had a short little liaison with a wonderful girl, but it was more for her. She wanted more the security, and I think, and he figured out, okay, a woman who wants the security, that is not the right partner for me, and so he said, okay, that is done. So, you know, because women need their security in themselves. That is yeah what is so important, you know, for us today to know who we are, what type of power we have when we open our heart, when we embrace everything, you know, with love. I think then it's, you know, pretty much all okay. And I tell you, our love, three of us, grows and grows and grows. And even without the sex part, you know, we figured out, okay, if there is no sex, but we love each other with our heart, you know, and we go our spiritual path. So we all three have our guru, Sama. Actually, Bastian and I, we have our guru, and we are spiritual connected. So we don't care about anymore so much sex, or I don't do, you know. But the men, they can explore and wish whatever they want to do. And in that time, there came a book out some years ago from Montag Shia that calls the multi-orgasmic man. And so men can learn different techniques, you know, to pleasure themselves and have multiple orgasms and pleasure, of course, the woman much better, that she has at the same time wonderful orgasms and pleasure. Because we women are pretty disappointed, mostly with men, because when we have sex together, or a loving, romantic sexuality even, then mostly the men, they can't control their sex. They can't control their, their orgasms, right? And so that book is wonderful for men, and, of course, for women as well, but especially for men, to control their orgasms. You know that the woman at first gets her pleasure and her release and orgasm, and then the man can have it. I mean, in a way, is it good for men? We know that. You grow up in the same generation, I think, like I did. We both got, and a lot of women, men too, that women never have an orgasm. When I got the first time divorced, and my mother asked me, why you want to get a divorce? And I said, listen, I never have an orgasm. She looked at me and she said, what? Women never have an orgasm. Only men have orgasms. I never had an orgasm with your father or with your stepfather. And I thought, okay, and I was pretty young then. But I didn't, I couldn't accept that, you know. And this that is what we all got, you know, that sex is something, a kind of dirty thing, you know, but it's ridiculous, you know. So I got that education, and that was actually horrible. But through my, I mean, a lot of women have problems with sex, men I'm sure too, because a lot of women got abused in their childhood, like me. I got abused in my childhood and never trusted men in sex, of course. So when I met my husband, Bastian, actually my fourth husband. My fourth husband,
yeah. You're so adventurous.
Yeah, it took me years, you know, to find the right man, the right partner who is spiritual, who is sensitive, who is romantic in love and sexuality. So I got my first orgasm, and then later on with Raza as well. Because especially Raza, he could control his orgasm until I had an orgasm. So, but I never experienced that pleasure, you know. And so I think a lot of women have that too. We women, we like anyway, romantic, love. We like candlelight. We like a wonderful, warm, cozy environment. So the set and setting is important for us. A conscious set and setting that we feel really nurturing and wonderful, no stress, you know. I think this is the best setting for a woman to have romantic love. And last time I talked to my friend Todd, we talked about sex, and he said, listen, always when I made my first date with women, I never wanted to have sex. I wanted to have at first a romantic laugh, you know, with a nice environment. But all the women were thinking I'm insane. And some women were even crying that I didn't have sex with them on the first date. So men have that too. Men can be very romantic, compassionate in sex, you know. That is really, but mostly, like my experience, it was always horrible, you know. I never had before an orgasm, and I gave up. I thought, again, you know, no. So I had to wait really a long time to get that pleasure, you know, what the people are talking about. I never understood that. I thought, oh, yeah, it's a little nice that kind of excitement. But then as soon as the penis came in the vagina, I was, you know, frozen in a way. And the men, of course, didn't know and didn't understood that. Why? I mean, I later figured it out to a lot of therapies why I couldn't trust men in sex. You know, that was abuse stuff, you know. So now, today, I'm free. I mean, I'm free of sexuality anyway, because now I'm talking from another perspective. So I see it, okay, that was sex, and now I go in a higher realm and bring that energy from the lower chakras up to the highest chakra. And there is actually, I just think about it, the Hindus, they have tantra sex.
Yes.
So tantra sex is a kind of form of sexuality to bring the sexual energy higher, right? From the lower chakras towards the higher chakras. And in the tantric sex, they talk about three purposes to have sex. The first purpose is procreation. You know, meaning we want to make consciously a baby and helping the soul to incarnate in a new body. The second purpose is pleasure. That is what I talked about, where the most people are pretty disappointed in men. You know,
Could I just stop you for a minute?
Yes.
I want to say at this point,
yeah,
that, you know, I was with my twin flame for 42 and a half years, totally in love with him.
Yeah.
And I had all kinds of sex with him, good, bad, and ugly. And,
yeah.
and but I always saw that it wasn't what he was doing. I was a lot of times disappointed in myself. In other words, a lot of times I would feel fat or I would feel unworthy about something that I felt disappointed in myself with, you know, my results or something, and that I would withhold pleasure from myself and also, you know, sex being such a highly charged thing, I would feel, you know, pressured to be a certain way to make him happy because I wanted to give to him. And a lot of times, like if I felt really bad about myself, I wanted to jump out of my skin instead of be there and have pleasure. So I think it's not men I've been disappointed in. It's been myself. And I think that women have, you know, had this picture about how they have to be sexually deserving and sexually desirable.
Yeah.
And that that's been one of the major, you know, kind of egoic blocks there. So, you know, if you want to comment on that, I you know, I have a little different perspective. I think you have been better with your body and so forth than I have.
I don't know what that means now. You mean
I mean, I think that you have been more comfortable in your body and with your body image than I have.
Ah, that is, that came really only through my husband and my lover.
Oh, really?
Before, I was always an outspoken and good-looking, good, well-dressed woman, yes. And therefore, I attracted, of course, men. But I was not comfortable in sex, you know, in the intimacy. I was not. That came really, really later, you know. And I think maybe with you, you know, in the you were with the I am Foundation connected, right? With Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. And I know they talk about that in their books, that it is not good for women or for men having an orgasm only for making babies. But it's yeah ridiculous, you know. We all got in that, I mean, today the women are much more open to sex. Even they have bad experiences. You know, women have, young women, when I hear that, I talk a lot to one young women about their sexual experiences. And they, a lot of women today, even here in a wonderful spiritual community, Mount Shasta, they have abuses experiences, sexual. You know, so even women have that. But I think the whole idea that men can't, I mean, I believe that when you have every day an orgasm as a man, for instance, and or several orgasms, I'm sure you are losing your power, you know, you're really your power. So it is good to read that book from Montag Shia, you know, about keeping your semen or your orgasm so long as you can control it, you know, and even don't have an orgasm, I mean, don't even give your semen, the semen away, but having an orgasm over and over again. And that can be for women as well. For women, is it really good to know the G-spot? You know, there is a wonderful erogenous, is it, zone in a vagina of a woman, you know, that came from the German gynecologist. I'm sorry, I hope I say that word right.
Oh, I love your way, gynecologist. That's really good.
It's Ernst Grafenberg. He talks about that. You know, so I like to explain that a little bit because I have experience with that, you know. If a woman takes her right hand and puts the middle finger in her vagina, she can feel on the top of the vagina, you know, this very sensitive spot, that is the G-spot. So she can have more powerful orgasms than with her clitoris. I mean, when a man is sensitive to a woman's G-spot, then the woman can experience multiple orgasms, you know. But a lot of men, like my second ex-husband, he didn't like at all that I pleasured myself. Even he couldn't give me an orgasm. For him, that was outrageous. You know, I tried that one time, and he looked at me like I'm insane, you know. So that was never an issue. So, oh, God, no, Ma, that was horrible, actually, you know.
You're so cute.
So, do you know the book, not the book, the movie Bliss?
No,
this is a wonderful movie about this topic where a woman got abused, and I don't want to say anything. That is Terrence Stump, I think, is his name. He plays in that movie Bliss. And they show that so nicely, you know. This is a very good spiritual and educational movie for all women and men who like to know more about sex, you know, and how to pleasure a woman and a man.
Well, you know, I want to talk about my experience a little bit.
Yeah.
When I met my husband, I was so head over heels, totally in love with him. I was only 17. And I told him on the phone without ever seeing him, I love you. I've been waiting my whole life for you. I'm going to marry you. And he was hesitant about that because he said he had been married when he was 19. He didn't experience anything else. And wanted me to go out with other guys so I was sure that I was making that that I was making the choice that was of my heart and not because I hadn't experienced anything else. And so it was really fun. I called up all of these guys I had ever had the slightest interest in, and I asked them on dates, and I had nothing to lose. If they said no, I didn't care.
Yeah.
But if they said, and they all said yes, and I had a ball with all of them. And I learned some interesting things. One thing that happened was that I wanted to see where my husband was while I was going out.
Yeah.
And I had a date Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night. And I was on the phone the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And but he better not be going out. That's where I was then, you know. So I managed to park with these guys and then go around by his house so that I could see that his car was there.
Mm.
So this one guy said to me one time, he could tell I didn't really want to be sitting there kissing, and at that time it was kissing, you know.
Right.
And he could tell I didn't really want to do that. And he said to me, Iris, you know, I really, really, really have fun being with you. I love being with you. And if you don't want to come up here and kiss, it's fine with me. And I never had the idea that a guy would like me for myself, you know, before that. It was like girls, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was so thrilled to find that out.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing I found out was that I could sort of get carried away and excited with people I had no emotional attachment to. I mean, I really liked them. I really loved them. I knew they weren't my mate. It wasn't especially that I was sexually attracted to them. I just wanted to learn from them and teach them.
Uh-huh.
And each one of them, I gave them more understanding of women. And each one of them, they taught me about men, and I really wanted to learn that. But I wanted to learn that so I could make my husband happy.
All right.
I always knew it was him.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have an orgasm with my husband for 8 years because I was terrified of telling him what I liked, because boyfriend that I was with before was very, very Catholic, and he got angry when I had an orgasm. Good girls weren't supposed to do that. What was I, a wild, loose woman? And, you know, that just inflamed me more. I would have screaming orgasms where I, you know, we'd be in the car. Of course, we were 17.
Yeah, right.
It was like, I'm surprised the windows didn't break. And the more angry he got about it, the more wild I was, you know. And so I had a hard time letting myself go with my husband that way for a long time because I felt I was going to be abandoned.
Ah, yeah.
If I was truly, you know, how I am sexually.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if you want to talk about that a little bit. And basically, what I want to talk about here is taking down some of the things where we've actually made sexuality a barrier to loving.
Right.
You know, like some people, they love their partner only till they find out they're sleeping with somebody else, and then they hate them. You know, so that wasn't love in the first place.
Right, right.
It was
a sexual attraction. But yes. A lot of people get married because of the sexual attraction. You know, and they think life is so wonderful. And when they are together, you know, then after a while they feel, oh, my God, it's pretty boring. And so let me look for another wife or another woman or another man. So sexual abuse, but a lot, I know only two women who didn't have a sexual abuse, and I know a lot of women. And they have fear. They have fear to open up. They have fear to trust the man. You know, so what I did over years and years, I did like I had an orgasm, but I never had one. And a lot of women do that too, to pleasure the man, you know, and give up their own self, you know, because they are ashamed, they are afraid, they don't trust, you know, and love, and especially romantic love with sexuality is all about trust. You have to trust your partner. And the partner, of course, has to trust you. But when we open up like I did with my second ex-husband, when I opened up, you know, I got immediately, no, this is bad, you know, this is dirty, you can't do that. You have sex with me or never with yourself or nothing, you know. And so I think this is a big problem, even today, you know, it's not only our generation. And you know, it is especially sex. You know, today we have a lot of, let me take that word, we have a lot of dirty sex. On the internet, we see that, you know.
What do you define as dirty sex?
Pardon?
What do you define as dirty sex? Because, you
dirty
know, a lot
sex
of people
is,
would say
for
that
me,
you were doing
when
with
you,
dirty sex.
When you take children, you know, and have sex with them and show that on the internet, this is very dirty sex for me.
Oh, my God, that's on the internet?
Oh, yeah. That goes on the internet. That's good. I mean, a lot of people do that, you know, or when girls taken from the street, young girls, young boys, and then they give that over the internet. They have done sex with them, and the kids, they never come out there. You know, they are really, I mean, this is a horrible thing, and this is what I mean with dirty sex. Otherwise,
non-consensual.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, everybody has his own kind of sexuality to get his pleasure, you know, when it is between two adults and in a kind of understanding what the partner wants, what she or auch he wants. I think that is fine when it is between them. But when it goes out, you know, and goes with young girls and young boys or even younger kids, you know, 5, 6 year old, think about that. This is horrible. And this is a lot going on in the world, you know. Not only in Asia, sondern here in America, in Germany, I know that, you know. This is for me not to accept. This is criminal for me.
Well, don't you think a lot of people do that because they really feel nobody would want them, and so they only go for people they can force themselves upon?
That I'm sure that it's a psychological problem. you know, in people who do this, you know, this is for sure. But it is, we can't accept that, you know.
No, no, and we don't. And
they need help, you know.
Yes.
Really need help.
Well, you know what I say, Marlise, when I connect with something like that, or when I become aware of it, or when I become aware of the way people treat animals, or anything like that, that I know in my heart of hearts isn't God's plan, because it doesn't make happiness for people.
No.
It doesn't.
I mean, we have free will.
Yeah.
We can do on that wonderful planet what we want, so that is God's plan as well, you know. And so we do horrible stuff here, you know, not only killing people for greed or for their own purpose, whatever purpose they have to kill. I mean, America is a wonderful country. For me, it is all about freedom, why I'm here. You know, this is for me America, and the American society, the American culture, the American people are just wonderful.
Yes.
And, of course, I don't agree with the government.
No.
we don't mean this. I don't talk about the government now. I'm talking about the American people and their freedom of speech. I mean, we have in Germany freedom of speech, you know, for the press and blah, blah, blah. But after the last war, we don't have freedom to, and what is good, of course. We can't build a Nazi party or things like that is forbidden by law. And this is not in America like that. In America, you have the Ku Klux Klan. They are connected to the Nazis. So they can do in a way, you know, or say what they want. And that I mean by freedom. Even if it is a bad thing, it is still freedom.
You know,
America is all about, the freedom. And we should be careful that we don't lose that here in America.
Well, you know what we can do, and this is something I do for everything, and I want to talk a little bit more about the Violet Flame, because I know Her Holiness
Saima
works with the Violet Transmuting Flame. I know you do, and what I do is when I become aware of something like this, when it's brought to my attention, I say, through the presence that I am, everything I become aware of or touch is charged with the violet transmuting flame in its most powerful dynamic cosmic activity, and it becomes a permanent vortex there that expands until that condition is corrected, and that means it is replaced with divine love. And I know divine love does not include forcing children to have sex.
No.
You know, divine love does not include killing anyone or anything.
No.
Divine love does not include anything that's not fun and uplifting and joyful and makes our hearts sing. That is all divine love creates.
Right.
And so I call the violet flame, and it's like, sometimes I come in contact with something and it's so cruel and so unloving, and I just sort of say to it, you don't know who you presented yourself to. You don't know who you're messing with, Senor. This goes now, and I call the violet flame, and I mean for it to be removed from the face of the earth, because we have come to a cosmic time where those things are not going to be tolerated anymore. This planet is ascending.
Yes,
and
yes.
Those who do not wish to do that will be taken to another alternate reality where they can move at a slower pace and a slower frequency and vibration. But that is not what's going to be tolerated here. And we are the ones to call it forth.
Right.
We have to call the Ascended Masters to do these things.
Yes, they are there to help us and to assist us, you know, what we can do, and what is wonderful to send so much light and the transmuting violet flame to the whole White House and wrap the whole White House in a violet flame, you know, deep, deep violet that gets all transmuted. You know, this horrible stuff that is going on there, what they do to the American people and around the world, actually. And I think you are right. When we do that, it helps. It doesn't look like, but it helps, you know. And I give even, you know, people who are not, you know, nice or acting in a bad way, I give them the loving energy that if they go and leave that planet, when they come back, and they will, believe me, then they come at least, you know, in we come always back, you know, in and incarnate to make a better life.
Yeah.
But we did in the past on horrible stuff that we can learn not to do that anymore. So we need really on that planet here a lot of compassion. That is our purpose why we are here, to lift that planet up to a higher realm, that we come in the golden age like Saimar talks about, that we come in a golden age, you know, what, and that will be. We get more and more light on the planet. More and more people are aware of what is going on, and they give light, compassion, their love, you know. And I see that in the last years, it gets really strong, you know, that more and more people see what is going on. I don't talk about now the mainstream people who are manipulated by the government and by TV, of course, especially Fox. I think I can't say that. But things like that, they are so manipulated that they don't see what is going on. They are manipulated by fear, you know. And so that is the whole thing.
And even if they do see, they're afraid to say anything.
Yes, that is another thing, you know. And they are very insecure. You know, with fear, we get very insecure when we have fear in us. Then we act, then only the ego act. And we are not anymore consciously here, aware of what we are doing, you know. That is really fear what makes us so destructed in everything.
Well, you know, let's go back to sex, and it has to do with fear also.
Yes.
And that I feel like a lot of people, you know, hold to their marital vows because they're afraid of losing the person, and not because it's their choice. And you know, I really looked at down through the years. I looked at myself in regard to my relationship with Gerald, and I wanted him. You know, I wanted him, and I only wanted him to come home at night because I was his most joyful choice, not because he said so at the altar.
Yeah.
Not because he vowed, you know, to be with me as long as we both shall live.
Yeah.
But because he wanted to, and I didn't want him on any other basis.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I was really terrified of losing him.
Why was it? Why were you terrified to lose him?
I think because of a lot of past life things.
Yeah. Right.
I had been with him over and over and hadn't been able to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't been able to accept it. So some terrible things had happened.
Yeah.
In one life, he's always been a very, very, very handsome man. And there was another woman that wanted him, and she actually shot and killed me because she thought she could have him then.
Ah.
And so I was terrified of sort of how attractive he was to women.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt that and knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was I was terrified if there was someone else sexually involved, then it would sort of be like having a white dress that somebody threw mud at, and then I could never get it clean again. It wouldn't ever be quite the same, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so I finally came to, you know, I always encouraged him to do the things he wanted to do, whether they included me or not. Like, he loved to race motorcycles, he raced boats, he raced. He was a major sportsman, you know, and he he was a golfer, and none of those things interested me. I didn't want to go do those things with him.
Yeah.
And I felt wrong about it. I felt like he'd be happier if I was the kind of woman that played golf, you know.
Yeah. I'm not a sportswoman either.
What?
I said I'm not a sportswoman either.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with love. Everybody has his own or her own lifestyle. You are not a sportswoman. He was a sportsman. So, but still, it came wonderful together. It's only our fear who separates us.
Yeah.
Or so that we are afraid, and that is actually really the ego.
So, no? But in my mind, I finally came to, I went, okay, would I want him to miss out on golf? No, to be with me when he wanted to play golf. And I finally said, would I want him to miss out on some really great sex if it didn't include me? And I had to say in my heart of hearts, no. And at that point, I realized that I would need to love and include anyone else he chose to have any kind of relationship with like that, the same way that you and your husband and your lover have done.
Yeah.
So I came to that in my mind, even though it never happened.
Uh-huh.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
And I think that that's a really important thing to learn, to love people with divine love, and that means whether it includes you or not, you want their highest good, their highest happiness,
yes,
the most joy and pleasure and delight they can have in life. And I think a relationship doesn't work unless you're able to do that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, today, by myself, I had a lot of, in my marriages, other men, of course, and my man had that too, you know, so, but we never talked about it. You know, like with my husband and my lover, when they look to another woman or are interested or whatsoever, we talk about it. That is a freedom that we need, you know, to talk about things and not doing that all, you know, this kind of secretly, I have their outside a lover. That brings you a horrible stress. You know, when you can't, you know, you have your family around like I did, and then I wanted to meet my lover outside the marriage, and I said, this was always stress. Nobody could see me, and I had to lie to my husband, you know, where I went, and things like that. Everybody is familiar with that whole setting, right? And so I think to have an open relationship, and when you love your husband, and your husband loves you, but he is interested in another woman sexual, then I think that is an exception to let it go. Meaning, okay, when you can't give your husband an orgasm, he can't give me an orgasm, of course we look for other partners or lovers, you know. So I think, you know, the whole thing is really ridiculous, you know. I think love, okay, today I wouldn't do that anymore, but I did all, you know, because we become more aware, we become more conscious, you know, so that stuff. So today I would rather get a divorce than betray my husband, you know.
Yeah.
But I understand you, that you they are thinking, okay, I want the best for my husband. We women, we do that always. We have naturally in us compassion and love, because compassion is what every woman has natural in her essence. We give so much compassion, understanding, love to our families, to our friends, to our neighborhoods, you know. Men do that too, but not so much. Women have that really in, because we give unconditional love to our children, you know, when we get a child, you know, like the animals do that, you know. So this is in us naturally, you know, to give the man what he wants, but we can't do that always. You know, when it hurts us, no, it's good to talk about then, you know, and ask what is wrong in our marriage and our connection. Let's work on that. And if it doesn't work, then let go. But with you, it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with me, too. And I'm sure with a lot of women, too, today. But still, we have a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding about romantic love and sexuality, you know. This is, I mean, men usually, you know, you never know anyway what men have in their mind if they make love. So when I think about, okay, men go usually with kind of pictures in their head, you know. So they need a picture, maybe some nice legs or a nice button or a breast or whatever. So you never know what breast he takes from what woman, you know. If it is yours, but maybe not. So men are different anyway in sex, you know.
I have a real thing.
I mean, we go with our feeling more, you know, and our intuition and things like that, you know. Men, they just, mostly men, I can't say that F word here, but most men want to, the F word, around, you know, wherever they can get her, their penis in a vagina, you know. So they don't care so much, you know. And of course, we have sensitive and very honest men. That is, of course, you know. I don't want to judge all the men, but through my experience, you know, that was all this trouble, you know, having a romantic relationship or what, that was always trouble. Because I know we have some pictures in our head and want to, okay, it has to be that or that, you know. We don't usually look really inside a person. You know, we look for the outside, for security, for money, can he take care of me, and we want a baby, and that kind of stuff, you know. But it's, yeah, okay, men, they want, you know, They want to adventure, you know. They want to go around and here and there. Women do that too, you know. But men have that much more than we do. And so I think, you know, to talk with the husband or the lover about, you know, to open up, you know. And when the man is not the right person, then leave the man. If I open myself now up, you know, or I did with my husband and lover, then comes the wonderful romantic from inside, from the heart. Then it's everything connected, all the chakras, you know.
Yeah.
Second chakra with the fourth chakra, meaning the second chakra where the sex is located, going up to the fourth chakra in the heart, you know.
Yeah.
And then we have real pleasure and wonderful orgasms, you know. And this is wonderful.
You know, the most wonderful orgasm I ever had with my husband,
yeah,
was we were making love and I had an orgasm, one of those mind-blowing ones, and
yeah,
and at the same time his chest and my chest disappeared, and what there was there is the sky. The whole sky took the place of my heart, his heart, our body.
Oh, that's, yeah, wonderful.
And I knew deeply, truly, completely what divine love is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the whole point.
Yes.
It's not the orgasm. And
oh.
I started seeing, as my husband and I progressed along our path, that I was able to raise my acceptance level of pleasure and joy more, so that I started feeling that I could get as much out of holding his hand in the movies as most people derived from sexual intimacy.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, that is, you don't know, the third purpose, actually, of having sex with the Hindus is moksha, or liberation. So that means, instead just experience pleasure in sex, physical experience, to tantric sex, we can experience a transcendence. And I think that was with you and your husband. Then the two lovers, they lose their separate identity and they merge into cosmic consciousness. And I think that is what you are talking about, that experience. This is one of the highest sexual experience what we can have, you know, this tantric sex where both lovers are really merged together and there's no separation anymore. But that is a very high state of consciousness, you know. So when you experience that with your husband, that was a wonderful, wonderful experience, you know.
Yeah. And but I wanted to say something else for me that I noticed that my home was in his arms.
Ah.
And Alyssa, was that for 2 minutes or one? I'm sorry.
No, no.
I want to be sure we give you plenty of time to say how people can reach you and everything. I think that was 2 minutes, so we need to wrap it up and tell people again how they can reach you. And, you know, I want to talk some more about this because I think it's very, very, very important for people. And what I really want to get to is how people who have been sexually molested can heal more easily. Because I know a man who is with a woman that he loves with all his heart.
Yeah.
Who was sexually abused when she was a child, and he said, I pay for that every day.
Uh-huh.
I pay for that abuse.
Oh.
I pay, you know.
He must have a lot of compassion.
He does. He has a lot of compassion and loves her totally, and she just hurts him a lot, and I call forth the violet flame in a cosmic sun concert. That means, I think, let's get
okay.
on.
But okay. Yeah, I talk about in my book, My Life from Now to Now, A Housewife's Spiritual Journey, about my abuses, about how I came out through this healing, in a healing process. I mean, this is a very psychological thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to heal that, but I came out of that.
I'm so glad, and I call for that for everyone who's experienced that.
Yes, yes.
Tell
so people can reach me really at www.starseedgallery.net.
www.starseedgallery.net.
Yes.
And you can reach me at miracleshp@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And we'll do this again soon, okay? I think this is an important subject, and I thank you so much for being with us, and I look forward to talking with you again about your book, and I love you, Marlies.
I love you, too, and thank you, Iris, for having me on your show.
And
I really appreciate that.
Oh, I really appreciate it, too, and I thank everyone for listening. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible.
And we hope that your dreams come true, too.
Thank
Everybody
you, my
has dreams.
Darling. Thank you, my darling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Bill Tiller of Tiller.org. You're listening.